You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily grind, your daily routine, taking us with you wherever it is that you're going. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales, joined by Jay King of The Athletic. We have Paul Pierce being honored tonight, giving his two cents about what the Celtics need to do to get things straight. And then a little bit from practice today, Marcus Smart, starter versus coming off the bench. Brad Stevens sees the value in both. So why don't we start there, Jay King, and I'll read a couple of the quotes when it comes to Brad Stevens talking about Marcus Smart. And it starts with this. The problem with starting Marcus Smart, he says, is you can't bring his energy off the bench. He's a valuable guy in both of those areas for the same reason. Which is interesting, but I guess my reaction to that is, and let me read this next point before I react. In the past, he's really aided us at the six-minute mark of a game or in the first quarter, but he clearly aided us the other night at the start. My reaction, I guess, is the reason why Marcus Smart is aiding the Celtics in the six-minute mark in the first quarter is that the first 6 minutes have generally sucked and they need some help. And the difference for Marcus Smart has been so stark, apparently, that, yeah, that's why he's helped so much. And that's why him coming in at the start was so valuable for the Celtics against the Pelicans, that at a time where guys just aren't really seemingly 100%, I don't know if the word motivated is right, but not there at 100%, and they've gotten off to such slow starts. Marcus Smart, his energy at the beginning was very noticeably valuable against the Pelicans, and the reason why there's that value to him off the bench is because the first few minutes of the game have sucked.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's why Brad will ultimately keep Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, or at least strongly consider it. Because the starting lineup, whoever it's been, has kind of just been flat all year. And it's been when they had Gordon Hayward in there, even when they went to Aaron Baines, like that lineup was really good last year. It just hasn't lived up to that promise so far this season. When you get Marcus Smart in there against the Pelicans, that was probably the Celtics' most complete game of the season. Brad keeps saying, you know, we haven't played a 48-minute game. That was as close as they've gotten to kind of sustaining the form they wanted for 48 minutes. They found something, I think, with Gordon Hayward on the bench. They've done really well in his minutes lately since he moved into that role. And Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris together in the first unit, I think that makes some sense. So maybe Stevens doesn't keep it, but There's a clear argument for sticking with that unit, which has played really well, and then bringing Gordon Hayward off the bench as your backup point guard in a role that he can fill well with next to Terry Rozier. That pairing, I think, makes sense, and just play like that. So I think, you know, Marcus Smart, you like to have his energy off the bench in a perfect world, maybe. But the energy is needed in the starting lineup, and the Celtics have gone off to some awful starts, and they may need to switch things up.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that the starts are a huge problem. You just can't keep trying to climb out of a 10 or 15 or 20 point hole. And the Celtics do generally make a run and do generally get it close enough where you think they can take advantage and kind of finish it off. But that's not where you need to be expending your energy as a basketball team. To have this team starting out so far behind, it's unsustainable, and it's just not going to be conducive to a very good season overall. They got to figure out a better way to start games. And right now, that's starting Marcus Smart. And I guess, and Marcus Morris. Here's a question. Because they started Marcus Morris before, and it wasn't necessarily the same effect. Is Smart plus Jaylen Brown enough to get that energy? We don't know, I guess, apparently.
I think you're too small.
I think you're too small.
Yeah, then it's Kyrie, Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what I would – I'm at least positing.
Yeah, to me that's too small. I think you need – Morris in there because he gives you a little heft. He's rebounded. His rebounding has really picked up this season. I think you need that rebounding next to Al Horford in the front court. I think if you have Jaylen Brown, it's just too small to make it work. You know, you'd have to have either Jaylen or Tatum guard fours, and then to me it just
it's a fair point.
Doesn't make perfect sense.
I think
it has to be Morris. In the starting lineup. I think it would have to be Smart starting for Jaylen Brown if the Celtics do continue to make this switch once Jaylen gets back.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair point. I can't really argue with that. And not that I was trying to start an argument. Just kind of a question, because I know earlier in the season, Brad Stevens has said he liked the Hayward and Morris pairing. So we'll have to see how that progresses, I guess. I get you. The thing about this starting lineup and having Morris in there, he does give you that toughness that Brad Stevens has been asking for. And to have those two guys kind of leading the way. And Marcus Morris, the one thing I think he's really done well is that he hasn't been the ISO Mook of the past. Like, he's really made the right plays this year. He's moved the ball.
It's so funny because his assist numbers haven't gone up at all.
But
and it's like Marcus Morris has been a much better passer this year. He hasn't held the ball. He's made quicker decisions. He's kicked the ball out on drives. Like, he has not been that guy. Like, last year, no lie, writers would just be like, "Oh, that's going up," whenever he started dribbling.
And now it's
not this case anymore. You don't know for sure that Marcus Morris is putting up a shot. It's kind of stunning, but it's just how it is right now. Marcus Morris actually passes the rock now.
Look, that's fantastic for him to. I just quickly looked at the numbers here. His assist numbers haven't gone up.
They haven't gone up even slightly.
But I just did a quick search. Last season he had 11 secondary assists. This season so far, he's got 4. Now,
I mean, that's not much either.
And if you multiply
some time
that
last year, but he missed some time last year. That's basically the same.
He missed some time. Now, he played 52 games last year, so he's on pace to play a lot more games. So even if you multiply this by 4, he's at 16. If you multiply it by 5. For something, because he played more than I'm just trying to figure out whatever.
They're more than a quarter of the way through the season, John. Right. You can't be multiplying shit by 5.
Sorry. Never mind.
Yo, math is tough. It's okay.
Tough. It's hard. But if you multiply it by 4, he's at 16. So already he's on a pace to go have more than last year. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I just looked it up. I think he's there's something to it. There's something to it. That's all I'm saying. There's something to the passing.
No, he's definitely been a much more willing passer, and to me a better passer. It's funny it hasn't shown up in the stats. I thought it was really telling. Brad Stevens was asked today whether Marcus Morris has been the most consistent player, and just said yes. That was it. Didn't explain it. Like, just moved on to the next question. Just a yes. That's all that's needed. Yep. Just like you guys have all thought too, Marcus Morris is the most consistent player on the Celtics, which is wild. And it's true, though. Like, Marcus Morris from day one has done what the Celtics have wanted. And he's probably the only one, which is wild. Marcus Morris.
Here's the number. I found it. I found the number. I found the statistic while you were talking. Okay. It's not the secondary assists. I was wrong in that. And excuse my shitty math before that. Here's the real number. It's potential assists. That this year he has 58 potential assists, which are assists that didn't get, you know, they could have been, and the guy missed. Last year he had 129. So he, if you extrapolate this out, he could have 200 potential, 200. So he's on a pace for 200. That means the assist numbers aren't there. Maybe the assist numbers aren't there because the Celtics offense has been struggling and guys have been missing their shots. So he's on a greater
pace. Because the Celtics stank.
So
no, he's definitely been a different passer.
That's the number. That's the number where we're going to say if we're
it's a new Mook.
That's it. It's a new Mook. He has a lot more potential assists than he had last year, or at least on a pace to, you know what I'm saying. That's the number. Anyway, so that's a new Mook. That's great, and I think that's a huge reason why he's been so effective this year, and why starting him actually makes sense in this lineup, because part of the problem has been that guys are hunting their own shots way, way, way too much. And to have, like you said yesterday, Marcus Smart is a low usage guy, and not to have Marcus Morris as a non-ISO threat, as a guy who's just going to catch and shoot and make the right play. Now you can let Kyrie hunt for his shots, and you can let Tatum hunt for his shots. We know that Al Horford won't. And now you move a couple of other guys who are going to hunt for their shots, and Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward I think a little bit of a lesser degree, but eventually I think he's going to do that more as he gets better. To kind of separate that out is important. And that goes to the point that I've been making all along, that the Celtics have too many guys that are hunting for their own offense that are on the same level of ability. When I make that hierarchy point, that's kind of folded into a lot of the point that I'm making now. So to separate out how many guys are hunting their own shots that are of the same ability just kind of makes sense right now. All right. We will pause this conversation for a minute and come back with some of Paul Pierce. And I think that a continuation of this conversation, because Paul Pierce makes a very similar point. So we'll continue that after this short break. And I remind you that the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast is something that you should be listening to. If you're a fantasy basketball player, go ahead and check it out. It's going to give you the edge that you need in all of your fantasy games, even daily fantasy. It's very well worth the daily fantasy. Even if you're not a fantasy basketball player, to get an in-depth breakdown of all the nitty-gritty, the things that happened the night before in the NBA, not just some of the overviews that you're going to get in some other podcasts. So check out Locked On Fantasy on the Locked On NBA Network.
How in the world do you fix the Celtics now? How do you fix the Celtics? If you're the captain of this team, yeah, what would you say to the team?
Well, it's not much you can really say, because I'm sure what's been said has already been said.
Mm-hmm.
It's about going out there and doing it. You know, guys have to understand what the common goal is. It's about winning at the end of the day. But when you have so many young guys who have superstar potential, you know, it's hard for them to kind of hold back. And it kind of gets in the way of what the vision is, and that's winning a championship. So I think as the season goes on, they're going to understand that. They're going to learn to sacrifice, and they'll get back on the winning track.
And that's Paul Pierce talking to WBZ TV and Steve Burton. Shout out to Scott Sullivan, extraordinary sports producer at WBZ, for that. That was Pierce on TV on WBZ at the Tradition, where he is being honored on Wednesday night, talking a little bit about these guys understanding the common goal, and kind of to our point, what we were saying earlier, Jay, about he thinks that there's a lot of these players with a lot of potential that are trying to find themselves. And I think this is kind of like the consensus. A lot of guys early on trying to figure things out, and until they figure out exactly how to make this mesh, it's going to be a bit of growing pain. So we see it. You see it. Now Paul Pierce is saying he sees it. So it's interesting coming from a guy who's won it all in Boston before.
See, I think it was just as interesting when we say that on every podcast other than this one.
I think it's interesting. I think we've I can't remember once that we've been wrong about anything.
Not once. So obviously we tell the truth, and the truth honors us with by sharing our opinion.
The truth. Are you saying that the truth is a Locked On Celtics listener? Because I think he is.
I don't think you have to be a Locked On Celtics listener to realize that guys are struggling to find their places on this team.
Come on, Jay. Come on. You know this is the only place to get analysis at that level.
It is very clear that all of these dudes, from Kyrie on down, have spent some time trying to find themselves and trying to find their new place in this ecosystem, in this new world. And it's been painful for everybody. Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart are the only ones who sort of avoided it to some extent. Everyone else has gone through it. And I think the Celtics are starting to sort of play better. New Orleans, one of their best games. Atlanta, it was just the Hawks, but they they resembled a basketball team in that one too. There were parts of the Dallas game when they played pretty okay. It hasn't been as gross lately. I think, you know, a quarter of the way into the season now, they're starting to make progress. To that point, I thought it was hysterical today when Brad was like, yeah, the positive of preparing for this practice was I watched two preseason games and we really sucked then. like we may still suck now, but not as much as we did back in the preseason, guys. So that was fun. And yeah, I think the starting lineup change may help. I think, again, we talked about this on the last podcast, having a low usage guy in that lineup could just help make everything make sense. Because, you know, what Pierce was talking about, what we've talked about so many times, is all these guys want theirs and they're trying to figure out how to get theirs in the right way. And I think Marcus Smart and the way Marcus Morris has played helps the starters do that. And then being part of the bench with Aaron Baines, who's a super low usage guy, and Gordon Hayward, who always tries to make the right pass, could help, you know, other guys from Terry Rozier, if Jaylen Brown does move to the bench, whatever, who have kind of dealt with some of those growing pains too. So to me, I think you have to stick with the new starting lineup. And I still think at the end of the year, like, Gordon Hayward in the starting lineup with Jaylen Brown is going to be – has the highest ceiling of all Celtics lineups. That's the one that if they can figure things out, that is going to be a dynamite lineup. But for now, the way this team is right now, I don't think there's a better lineup than Smart, Morris, Kyrie, Tatum, and Horford.
I think part of this is maybe separately getting these guys to find their offense. And maybe breaking them up into separate units is the best way to get them to play together. If you can get Tatum figured out, and he's starting to figure it out, if you can get Jaylen Brown to separately figure it out on the second unit, and Gordon Hayward to figure it out, And Hayward is such a unique case because of the injury. But if you can get those guys to figure it out without the pressure of Kyrie also needs the touches and Tatum needs the touches, and you can kind of have them there. Once everybody figures it out, then you can slowly start to say, okay, maybe you sub out Marcus Morris at the 5-minute mark or 4-minute, or whatever it is, the first TV timeout, and you bring in Gordon Hayward, or 5 minutes into the game, and you bring in Gordon Hayward, and you start bringing him a little earlier and playing him with that first unit a little more, and seeing if you can slowly integrate that into the lineup, rather than have everybody try to figure it out. Maybe this isn't we shouldn't be looking at it necessarily just as the energy and all of that. Maybe we should just be looking at it as we're separately growing each of these guys throughout the season, and then towards the middle and the end will be when we slowly reintegrate that original starting lineup that we always thought would work, and by the end of the season, that's going to be how it goes. I guess really one of the key things here is, can Gordon Hayward, by the end of this year, get back to being Gordon Hayward, or are we going to need him to kind of fill this secondary role for a majority or all of this season, as the facilitator. I think using him off the bench as a pseudo backup point guard really, really helps with this team. One, because of his playing ability right now after the injury. Two, because of the personnel and having Terry Rozier. And if Terry Rozier is going to be playing 20-something minutes a game, he's much better off ball. But if Hayward can get back to the all-star level, Gordon Hayward, by February, March, April, then obviously that's a guy that you're going to want to have playing 35 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, got to get the bounce back, got to get the ability to finish. Other parts of his game have started to come around lately. I'm sure he was pretty happy when he hit the big three against the Pelicans. It feels like he's been wide open for so many like momentum threes this year and just rimmed out 95% of them, like in and out, like heart-wrenching misses. And
terrible.
And he finally got one to go against the Pelicans. So things like that could be steps for him as he sort of continues to regain things. But right now, plus 10.2 net rating for him since the team moved him to the bench 5 games ago. And he's starting to – I don't know whether it's him figuring it out or just playing with different players. He still hasn't been able to go up and finish in traffic. That seems like it's the last part for him, but he's playing better. He's definitely playing better.
The one really very telling thing was they ran, I did a whole breakdown on my Patreon of Hayward in the horn set. And it's a play that they use a lot, and they used it a ton in the Pelicans game. And there was a play where he had it and Morris slipped the screen and Hayward drove and took the shot. And just like you said, he was in traffic. He'd drawn a lot of attention. He went up and tried to finish and he missed. Okay, fine. Shit happens. That happens to every player, every game at some point. But he, and I went back and looked at it again. He just like drops, his shoulders slump, and he's just, he looks,
yeah, he gets so mad
sky.
when he misses finishes that would normally be so easy for him. He gets so frustrated.
He is getting so frustrated.
And he hates life in those moments.
Yeah. But then at that point, you can hear Brad Stevens saying, get back, get back, get back. And they gave up a transition opportunity. So not only is Gordon Hayward having trouble finishing, which is understandable, but then he is currently compounding the problem too often by having that reaction. And if I have any concern about Gordon Hayward, it's that he is so mired in this thing that it's in his head so much that until he breaks out of this and starts finishing those things, he makes too many of those little mental mistakes after something goes wrong.
Yeah, it's so human, though.
Of course it's human. It's totally
it's
human.
So human.
Isn't like, that what we that, need players to be not most, human?
That's the most I've ever related to an NBA player. Because it's exactly what happens with me and Minsley. I go to start moves that would have been so easy in the past, and it just doesn't work out. And there's nothing more frustrating than doing something that should be easy and something that you know you should be able to do and just not converting. So it's the most I've ever related to an NBA player when Gordon Hayward gets so, so mad at himself over failing to finish. And it's just... I get it 100%. Like if in a normal situation, if a guy does that, it would be not unforgivable, but something that you really hate. But with Hayward, I just get it, man. I just totally understand it. And right now he's just like, what the fuck?
I get it.
Easy finish, and it just didn't fucking work. Like, what the hell? So I get it. And yeah, I mean, obviously he should get back on defense and he shouldn't let it impact him. And he needs to have fewer and fewer of those moments, preferably zero of those moments moving forward. But damn, like, yeah, that is so relatable.
I get it. Look, nobody gets it more than me. But, I mean, I guess that happens when you get old. Trust me. There's a point where it just, like, it never comes back. And you're like, oh, damn it. So, it sucks. It sucks.
Hayward has not reached that point yet, by the way.
He's not.
Just one point. Put
that
out there.
He's not. He hasn't. I just kind of venting a little bit on my own now since you kind of put that in my head.
Yeah, I mean, you're way past the point of no return.
Oh, but. God. Are you kidding me? I'm so far past that point. Like, me playing at my best is just the worst basketball I've ever played in my life. Like, that's the point that I'm at right now. My best game right now is still the worst basketball I've ever played in my life. So,
my best game is legendary.
Nope, not at all.
No, I'm trapped.
All right, let's take a short break before we come back. I'll throw a little more positive notes out there to wrap up the podcast. Before we do that, I want to encourage everybody to subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, of which I am the co-host on Wednesdays. The Wednesday show currently out. It was me, Jake Madison. We talked about Devin Booker talking about wanting to build a super team in Phoenix. He wants the super team to come to him. We react to that. And we also picked the best bargain contracts in the NBA. What are the best contracts currently in the NBA after a quarter of the season? So you want to go subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast for that. All right, let's wrap things up. Just a little bit of perspective here. We have teams have their records, and it's fine. But point differential is something that can tell a little bit more of a story when you see who's struggling and who's not. If you've got a good point differential, even if your record is not necessarily great, then it could be a indication of more positive results to come. And Celtics are ninth in the league in point differential. It's only plus 2.8, but ninth in the league is still ninth in the league. And just a little...
Can I interject here?
No.
You can continue, though.
No, go ahead.
Ninth sucks.
Look.
I'm just saying, ninth is not good for what this team is. Ninth isn't good. For what this team should be, ninth isn't good. And it's not like, oh, they're above average. No. No. This team was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. This team had a plus 3.6 net rating last year and has taken a step back to plus 2.5 so far. This team is – it shouldn't be as low as it is. And so, yes, if you look at Pythagorean win expectations or whatever the hell it's called, they should have another win or two. But it still hasn't been good. And
– you know, Jay, I'm just trying to be positive here.
Yeah, well, I'm
just
here,
trying to throw
I'm
a little positivity. Just trying to throw a little positivity. Last year, the point differential was 3.6.
Who's eighth?
Who is eighth? Hold on, let me get to eighth because I just got off of it. So, who is eighth? The Indiana Pacers.
Who's seventh?
The Clippers.
Who's sixth?
The Hornets.
Yeah. Do you think they should be behind those teams, John? Is this the positive talk that you wanted?
Look, Jay, I'm just trying to end this on a positive note. But I understand.
I will not allow it.
I understand. You can't help but be a negative person.
I'm the most optimistic person in the world.
No, if you were the most optimistic person in the world, you would have shut your damn mouth for the past 3 minutes. But no, you had to go and shit on things. All I'm saying is the Celtics have, in their struggles, still had a positive point differential.
Yeah.
So they're 11-10. We all know that this is the worst that they've played. This is the worst that they're going to play. It's hard for this team to get worse. And they're still top third in the NBA in point differential. Better than the Blazers. Better than the Grizzlies, who have a better record. Better than the Pistons, who everybody's like, ooh, darling, look at the Pistons. Like, these other teams are playing well.
The Pistons are someone's darling?
Yeah, people are talking about the Pistons being a playoff team. But look, these teams, like, people are like, oh, look at the Grizzlies. Oh, look at the Blazers. It's perspective. These teams are playing well, and the Celtics have a better point differential, even though they're playing shitty. And I hope people can understand that I'm doing air quotes by the inflection in my voice when I say those things. But the Celtics, yeah, point differential doesn't mean shit in the grand scheme of things, but at least for now.
Point differential is one of my favorite stats, but I just think you're trying too hard to be optimistic here, man.
Jay, I'm not.
Their crap is okay.
I'm not producing an entire point podcast over point differential. I'm ending this podcast. We're trying to struggle to figure out what to talk about. I'm ending this podcast on a positive note. I'm not trying to shoehorn a lot of this. I'm not making this anything more than it is. But no,
this is a positive note.
Jay has to come swooping in and be like, no, I'm going to take a crap all over your little 5 minutes. 5 minutes of positivity. Jay's like, nope, I'm not having it. You don't get to be positive for 5 freaking minutes.
You know what's funny?
What?
I knew who was 8th, 7th, and 6th. I just wanted to
Of course
to make
I knew.
You
you, like, you don't have a computer and the internet? I know when you were getting down to. I see the Hornets right there.
I just needed to make you say it, and that then so my point was made. I appreciate the way that unfolded.
Yeah, so do I, because everybody knows that when it comes to shitting on anything positive, it's Jay King's domain.
Hey, we're ending this with laughter. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is a positive end, just like you wanted.
All right. I want to see you ruin this. I want to see you ruin this next thing here, Jay.
I know
you're going to find a way to ruin this.
Uh-oh.
No, probably not. Shout out to Mike Gorman, who signed on for 3 more years to be the play-by-play guy for the Celtics.
Yeah, no way you can ruin that one.
No, that's good.
Celtics fans are super, super lucky to have him.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
And Grandy. And
yep. Very cool.
There's nothing else I can say to that one. Super cool. Super awesome.
Yep.
Super fantastic. He's much better than a plus 2.5 net rating.
2.8. 2.8, Jay. That 0.3 could be the difference between a critical win and a loss. Mike Gorman, one of the best guys around here, has been on the podcast a few times. And very, very psyched to have him around for a few more years at the games. He's super, super cool. And it's very awesome for him to do that. And thus ends a podcast, and God, I'm so happy this podcast is over so I can hang up on Jay King. Subscribe to the podcast if you're a new listener. If you have enjoyed this much of the podcast, please subscribe. If you are a subscriber, we hope you've enjoyed this podcast enough to give us that 5-star rating and a good written review. It really, really helps us out. And also, when you share the podcast and tell your friends, your family, your enemies, random people on the street, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.